Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For as it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Michael. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for accepting us as we are. We thank you for your act of reconciliation. And we pray that you will use us to break down walls. In Christ's name, amen. So on any given day, we can tune in on TV and we can find all kinds of radical overhauls. If we want to restore our car, we can tune in to Wrecks to Riches and learn how to overhaul that car radically until it's this beautiful, amazing automobile. If we want to radically overhaul our home, we can tune in to Extreme Makeover and begin to learn how to restore our home radically. If we want to overhaul our bodies, we can tune into all sorts of programs that go a little slower, like The Long Road, The Diet to Diet, and constant exercise, slowly but surely. Or if you've got plenty of cash, there are those 10-day radical overhauls of our bodies. And this passage that Adam just read sounds like a radical overhaul of what it means to be Christ-like, of what it takes to be Christ-like. I mean, there's 30 different commands in that passage he just read. Count them. There are 30. Love one another, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. The list goes on and on. It's exhausting. And it's easy when we do this to feel unworthy. It's easy to wonder if really the Holy Spirit could ever form within all of us these desires of God, what it means to be Christ-like, what is necessary to become Christ-like. So where do we start? Maybe we could try each one at a time. So instead of saying, how are you, and then rushing on past the person, we can stop and we can say, how are you? And we can listen for what they have to say, and then we can respond. And then the next day we can go to abhor what is evil, and we can practice that. And so it will take a month, but at the end of the month, we will have practiced each one. Or for a start, we might talk about two of the significant qualities that are mentioned in that list of 30. Self-sacrificial love and overcoming evil with good. So what is self-sacrificial love anyway? Because love is the overarching paradigm for this entire passage. Yesterday at Bill Bryan's celebration of life, love was the overarching paradigm of that celebration of life and, in fact, of Bill's life itself. Describing a love that doesn't harm others or that doesn't avenge oneself. The Bill Bryan that so many people knew came in the form of a question from Andy Stoker when he looked out on the crowd and he said, how could Bill Bryan love so many people so well? And indeed, how did that happen? The answer partially came from Bill's administrative assistant, Judy Gibbons, been there for 17 years, who described what it was like to be on staff with Bill and to go out for an event or to a restaurant and suddenly have people come from out of nowhere, wherever you were, to take you on a special tour, to seat you at a special place. And when they ask, how did this happen? How do we get this treatment? The answer was always, oh, she's a friend of Bill's, or he's a friend of Bill's. And that got to be the response for how they got that kind of loving treatment. So self-sacrificial love looks out for the needs of others. It expresses hospitality. And if we start thinking that love is only a feeling rather than action, we're headed towards trouble, because Scripture definitely describes love as an action. And right now we see a lot of examples of love in action. Vic Parker, a volunteer for the Red Cross who came to Houston and took charge of the biggest convention center there, the George R. Brown Convention Center downtown. Vic Parker is a retired sales manager and marketing manager. She was up in Canada doing all sorts of Red Cross work and had just finished, and she got this alert about Houston. And someone asked her, why are you doing this? Why are you responding? And she said, this is where I'm needed. This is where I'm called. Self-sacrificial love. And then there's Abe Miner, who's been called the Houston hero. I'm sure you've seen him on television, rescuing a boatload of people as his wife had requested. But when people saw Abe in that boat and that the rescue was happening, they began to call out, save me, come get me. And at the end of the third day, he had already picked up 20 families. That's the kind of love that looks for ways to take action, that looks for ways to express itself. Early this week, I saw an editorial page cartoon, and there were people in a lifeboat, all kinds of people, and they were holding food and supplies out to a really motley crew on the other side. There were all different colors and kinds. And the caption said, oh, this is what it took to bring people together and get them to love and help one another. The pastor of Christ United Methodist Church, Don Underwood, said this, floods wash away many things. They wash away homes and possessions and physical security. But this time, it rained so hard that it washed away the colors of our skin. It washed away our prejudices and our politics and our false ideologies that divide us and sometimes make us mean. This flood has left us naked and exposed so that all we can see are other human beings, brothers and sisters, sitting at the table of suffering that is sometimes the kingdom of God. That's the way it is today. That's the way it's supposed to be. I pray to God, he said, that's the way it will continue to be. Will it? There's a lot of evil out there that needs overcoming by good. And sometimes that seems improbable and impossible. Are we supposed to return evil with a smile or a pat on the back? The answer to that is no. And so we started looking for witnesses, Christians who have responded to evil, overcoming it by good. And I will have to admit, except for those of you who are arduous studiers of history, that it sometimes gets difficult to learn from an ancient or a medieval witness. In other words, what would Augustine do about immigration seems to sometimes be a stretch for most of us. So we look around and we ask ourselves, well then, what recent Christian should we emulate? We can readily answer, what would Dolina Westergaard have to say and do about immigration? And when we do, we can begin to emulate her. We can hear that as a word of encouragement. It might be a reach to wonder what Peter in Scripture would say about the monuments that we've all been talking about so passionately. But we know what Bill Bryan, who headed up the North Texas anti-racism team, would say. And he would say that racialized wealth disparity makes for racialized inequality in education. And so we should get busy funding struggling schools like Zaragoza as they try to step it up in science. Extra money should go to them. We might not have the answer from John Wesley about same-sex marriage, but we know what the revered Lutheran pastor Nadia Bolz-Weber of the Denver Church of All Sinners and Saints would say. When the Nashville statement was released this past Tuesday by the public policy arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, it was signed by some of the most powerful Christians in the country. And in summary, it said something like this: marriage is only between one man and one woman. Men and women are different and they have different distinct roles. If you're a man, be a man. If you're a woman, be a woman. Anyone who supports LGBTQ+ rights is a bad Christian. Trans people can change. God would never make you trans. That's the summary of the Nashville statement, if you haven't read it. The Denver statement, response to that out of All Sinners and Saints, refuted all of that, and then it added this paragraph. We affirm that the church has often been indistinguishable from the dominant culture in the ways in which it has sanctified oppression and bigotry towards historically marginalized and demonized people groups, of which the LGBTQ+ community is one. We deny any ideology, theological or otherwise, that results in the further marginalization, rejection, dehumanization, and overall suffering of LGBTQ+ individuals. If you cannot relate to the Denver statement, perhaps you can relate to a local friend of ours, Marcus Womack, the associate pastor at Grace Avenue United Methodist Church in Frisco. He first apologized to all clergy and laity who are working so hard against this oppression. And then he said, "All I can say is that I love you and I want Christianity to be better. And I want to be a part of supporting you and changing our systems for all. And Nashville is just too awesome for the content of this statement to bear its name." And the mayor of Nashville agreed. Marcus then recommended to LGBTQ plus Christian siblings other churches, the West End United Methodist Church in Nashville, the East End United Methodist Church in Nashville, and several other great churches in Nashville, overcoming evil with good, taking action. Yesterday, John Thornburg reminded all of us of something that really took Bill's career in a different direction. He fell into disfavor with a very wealthy church when he chose 20 years ago to do something now that we'd never even think about. He chose to baptize the children, twins, of a gay couple in his church. Support was immediately withdrawn financially and in many other ways. And fortunately, Bill ended up at Perkins, and we're forever grateful for that. Love in action, not mean spirit, just love in action. So what is this life that is lived differently through the power of the Spirit? It's a transformed life, but maybe it's not so radical after all. Maybe it's more of an everyday reevaluation. Today we're putting together hygiene kits. Please join us in the parlor as a community. The church at large really does today have to offer an invitation to a new kind of community, one that strives to live differently, both within our walls here and beyond society. Our identity and our mission as Christians is central to this. And so if it seems too daunting, too laborious a task to go down that checklist of 30 and make a radical overhaul, we might think of the way that Bill Bryan said he went at it. He said, "You have to keep saying yes again, every day, and making decisions over again, every day." May our yeses be yeses in Christ Jesus every day.